Good to see everyone here this morning. Glad that you've come together with us to worship God and to sing praises to His name. I'm going to look this morning for a few moments at Acts chapter 4. Acts chapter 4. After the day of Pentecost and the great 3,000 that came then at that time, and as the gospel began to be preached, as Jesus had prophesied, that if you go out and you preach the gospel, if you serve God, you're faithful to Him, and however way you do, you're going to be persecuted. And the persecution began really in the end of chapter 3 and into chapter 4 of the book of Acts. But we look at Acts chapter 4 and begin at verse 27. And he says, "For of a truth in this city, against thy holy servant Jesus, whom you have anoint, both Herod and Pontius Pilate, with the Gentiles and the people of Israel, were gathered together to do whatsoever your hand and your counsel foreordained to come to pass. And now, Lord, look upon their threatenings and grant thy servants to speak the word with all boldness, while you stretch forth your hand to heal, that the signs and wonders may be done through the name of your holy servant Jesus." Now look at that, and that is the prayer that they prayed, or part of it, when they began the persecution and the apostles were taken. They were arrested, they were brought before the council, they were threatened with their life and or imprisonment, told not to speak anymore in the name of Christ. And so instead of cowering in the corner and going away, they didn't pray for taking all the persecution away. They prayed for strength and boldness that the word can continue. Now again, the background of this persecution goes back a little bit earlier, and in chapter 3 there's something that came up about healing one, and they wanted to know more about it, and they did it in the name of Christ. And so the scribes and the Pharisees and the high priests and others, they wanted to stamp out Christianity before it got a foothold and really began to go. And so this is sometimes called the first Jewish persecution. And then later on, after a while, you read through the book of Acts, and then you read into the books of Paul and also Peter and John, and they talk about persecution also. And after a while, the persecution no longer was so much intense with the Jews against Christians, but it became later on the Romans. And all through the first century, at different times, there was times of intense persecution. There were times of maybe it was a little less, and then more, depending on where and what time it might have been. But the early disciples demonstrated courage in service to God and total dedication. And this really began in Acts chapter 4. As we read it there, Jesus had warned them what would happen when they began to follow Him. John chapter 16, verses 1 and 2. Jesus said, "These things have I spoken unto you, that you should not be caused to stumble." Now He's talking in this passage specifically to His apostles. He says, "I'm telling you this so that when what I'm going to tell you comes about, you don't stumble and fall away." And He says, "They shall put you out of the synagogues. Yes, and the hour will come that whosoever kills you shall think that he is offering service to God." Think about that. There is a time going to come that Jesus prophesied about. He said, there's going to come a time if you're following me, people who kill you think they are doing service to God. Well, where do we find that happening? Well, over in the book of Acts, about chapter 9, we have Saul of Tarsus, and he was doing that very thing. And he sincerely believed he was doing the will of God in killing Christians. And so it came about. Now, he certainly was not the only one, but he was one of many that were doing that. So we look at this idea of courageous service to God. But what is courage itself? It comes from a Latin word having to do with the heart. That's where the term comes from. it is defined by the dictionary, is that quality of mind which enables men to encounter danger and difficulties with firmness, without fear, but with bravery, valor, boldness, and resolution. All those things are a part of the definition of courage. And so you think about that, and I think it was General Patton said one time that the difference between a coward and a hero is that a coward is afraid when danger arrives and he runs away. A hero, when danger arrives, he's afraid and he stands and does what he has to do. And that's the difference between the two. And that's basically what courage is. And Numbers chapter 13 and verse 20, Moses spoke to the 12 spies that he sent out to go into the land, to spy out the land for the people of Israel. And he said to them, "Be of good courage and bring the fruit of the land." And so they did. They came and they brought the fruit of the land back. But 10 of them said, "No, we can't take the land. We're like grasshoppers in their sight. They have walled cities and great armies." But Joshua and Caleb said, "Let us go. Let's take the land, for we are well able to overcome it because God will give it to us." And so that's the difference between courage and cowardice on that occasion. The term courage, and coming from the heart, is like the people of the land of Canaan, for example, in Joshua chapter 2, when the two spies went over to the city of Jericho. And one of the things they were told that when the people of Jericho heard that the people of Israel had crossed the Jordan River, they remembered what God had done for them all the time in delivering them from Egypt. And they were told the hearts of all the people has melted. In other words, they have no more courage. They knew that they were going to be destroyed. But we have to be courageous when we live a Christian life. And courage isn't just doing some great thing a couple of times. It's not just doing some great thing even in an everyday life. But it's living from day to day, being faithful. Every day that we live is a courageous life before the Lord when we try to serve Him faithfully. And in 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 12, Paul says there, "All who would live godly in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution." So it's not a question of maybe or maybe not. He says if you're faithful to God, at some point in time, you're going to suffer persecution for your service to God, and it's going to happen. And it can come in whether it's physical persecution or emotional or spiritual, however it may be, it's going to come at some time or another. So we look in Acts chapter 4 again. We go back to verse 27. He says, this is in their prayer after Peter and John had been released from the council. It says, "For of a truth in this city against thy holy servant Jesus, whom you have did anoint, both Herod and Pontius Pilate, with the Gentiles and the peoples of Israel were gathered together." Notice the Gentiles and the Israelite people, the Jews, worked together to the crucifixion of Christ. So there was no group of people that was innocent. There was no group of people that specifically were guilty. They were all guilty, just like if you read in the book of Hebrews. And you realize that we today, when we sin, we crucify Christ and we're as guilty as they were. But we can be forgiven because of what God, through Christ, did for you and me. And so verse 28, he says, to do whatsoever thy hand and thy counsel foreordained to come to pass. This is always God's plan that this be done. And now, Lord, look upon their threatenings and grant unto your servants to speak thy word with boldness. Notice they did not ask to be relieved of persecution. They said, give us boldness to continue while you stretch forth your hand to heal, that the signs and wonders may be done through the name of your holy servant Jesus. And when they had prayed, the place was shaken wherein they were gathered together, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit, and they spoke the word of God with boldness. So their prayer was answered. The church had come together after the first persecution began. mainly it was aimed at Peter and James and John. That was kind of the focus of it, because they were kind of looked upon as the leaders of the apostles. And yet it came to all of the apostles, and ultimately all the Christians in Jerusalem and wherever they might have gone. One writer said one time, they did not pray for safety or protection, but only for courage and boldness. And that's exactly what they asked for. They didn't say, Lord, deliver us from this. They didn't think, well, Lord, why are you allowing this to happen to me? Because I'm trying to be faithful, and you're allowing them to persecute me. Some might have thought that way, but they didn't pray for that. They prayed for boldness to continue. In their prayer, in a sense, they reminded God and what he had done through Christ, and said, your holy servant. And some translations say, your holy child. The Father, of course, the Bible says, had foreordained it. He had predestined this to happen. Jesus coming, his life, his death, his resurrection, his ascension, the establishment of the church, the kingdom, and of course the persecution that was going to follow. And they prayed for courage and boldness to stand up for what was right in spite of the persecution that was set before him. And the concern, of course, for them was in the spread of the gospel, not personal safety. Now, yes, if we're persecuted, maybe we will be afraid sometimes. And that's natural, because we're human beings. And yet we need to stand with them in boldness and courage to live a Christian life every day. It's similar with what happened in the days of King Hezekiah of Israel, when the Assyrian army came and surrounded the city under their king. Now, you turn for a moment back to 2 Chronicles. 2 Chronicles chapter 32. 2 Chronicles chapter 32, and begin at verse 6. He says, set the captains of war over the people, and gather them together to him in the broad place at the gate of the city. And he spoke comfortably unto them, saying, be strong and of good courage. Be not afraid nor dismayed for the king of Assyria, nor for all the multitude that is with him. There is a greater one with us than is with him. Verse 8, and with him is the arm of the flesh, but with us is the Lord our God to help us and to fight our battles. And the people rested themselves upon the words of Hezekiah the king. They needed to know, and needed to know that the king had faith that if they would stand up for what was right, God would be with them. And notice he says, the one that is with us is greater than the one that's with them. He says, they have the arm of flesh. They had all the armies, and they had all the weapons and all of those things, but he says, God is with us. And again, you think about that and compare that with Acts 4, verse 31. It says, when they had prayed, the place was shaken where they were gathered together. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and spoke with the word of God with boldness. They didn't back up and back away from that and hope that the persecution would go away, because it was still going to be there. But later, the Apostle Paul's courage and persecution and uncertainty was there to strengthen others around him. In Acts chapter 28 and verse 15, it says, and Paul, this is his journey to Rome towards the end of it. He says, from there, the brethren, when they had heard of us, came to meet us as far as the market of Appius and the three taverns, when Paul saw, he thanked God and took courage. Paul was on his way to Rome. He knew there was persecution facing him. He knew that even probably death at some point in time. But he saw other Christians who came out to meet him, and he took courage from them. That's what we're to do for each other. When we kind of maybe waver in our faith, we're to build each other up in the faith and strengthen each other. And that's what he wants us to do. In Philippians 1, verse 14, Paul said there that, and that the most of the brethren of the Lord, being confident through my bonds, are more abundantly bold to speak the word of God without fear. In other words, Paul says, I have to suffer this persecution, not just for me, but also for others who are around me. Because when they see me being bold and proclaiming the gospel, even in spite of persecution and all of those things, he said they're going to take courage and be strong also. Again, there's this idea that we work together and courage and strength in serving God. And it worked for the early church, and it can work for us now just as it did then. Now turn back now again to the book of Acts in chapter 5. Acts chapter 5, and after the continuation of this persecution, Acts 5 and verse 28, we'll go back to verse 27. It says, and it said, they set them before the council, and when they were brought forth with them, they set them before the council, and the high priest asked them. So they went out and they preached the gospel again, continued to do so. They were arrested again, brought before the Sanhedrin council and the high priest and those. Verse 28, it says, we strictly charge you not to teach in this name. Behold, you have filled Jerusalem with your teaching and intend to bring this man's blood upon us. So the high priest says, you're continuing to do what we told you not to do. And he says, you want to bring his blood upon us. You go back to the book of Matthew. And when Pilate said, what shall I do with Jesus? They said, crucify him. And he says something he talked about his blood. And he says, they said, his blood be on us and our children. Crucify him. So they asked for it in the first place. Now the high priest said, no, you can't bring his blood upon us. Verse 29. But Peter said, and the other apostles answered and said, we must obey God rather than men. The God of our fathers raised up Jesus, whom you killed, hanging him on a cross. Him did God exalt to his right hand to be the prince and savior, to give repentance to Israel and remission of sins. And we are witnesses of these things, and so is the Holy Spirit, whom God has given to them that obey him. So it was a continuation of the same persecution, except that now it was getting more intense and more powerful. And they were brought before the council. And first time they were released and threatened with beating and threatened with imprisonment and all those things. But this time it was going to start for real. Now, they were willing to suffer if necessary. They said, we have to obey God rather than men. You know, we can't do what you say. We have to do what God tells us. In 1 Peter 4 and verse 16, one of the ones that was there at this time, the Apostle Peter said, but if a man suffer as a Christian, let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God in this name. In other words, when we suffer and hold on to our faith, we glorify God in doing that. Yes, there's going to be suffering involved, however it may come upon us, emotionally, spiritually, or physically. We're still going to glorify God through that. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 24 says, who in his own self bare our sins in his body upon the tree, that we having died into sins might live unto righteousness, by whose stripes we are healed. We're healed by the stripes, the thing how Jesus was beaten and put on the cross. We're healed because he did that for you and me. So we go back to Acts chapter 4 again. Acts 4 and verse 19. When Peter and John spoke to the council, it says, but Peter and John answered and said, whether it is right in the sight of God to hearken unto you rather than to God, you judge. For we cannot but speak the things we have seen and heard. Peter and John says it's not an option to us. We have to speak the word of God. They were compelled because that the fact that they had seen Jesus. They had lived around him for 3 years. They saw his death, burial, and resurrection. They saw him ascend back to the Father. He said, you can punish us however you want, but we're still going to preach in the name of Christ. Those not dedicated to the Lord, they, of course, took the other route. And because of their faith of Peter and John, they continue. We'll turn over for a moment to the book of Amos in the Old Testament. Amos was a prophet of God. He was persecuted a lot for his testimony of the Lord. In Amos chapter 2 and verse 13, he says, "Behold, I will press you in your place as a cart presses that which is full of sheaves. And a flight shall perish from the swift, and the strong shall not strengthen his force, neither shall the mighty deliver himself." Neither shall the mighty deliver himself. Verse 15. "Neither shall he stand that handles the bow, and he that is swift of foot shall not deliver himself. Neither shall he that rides the horse deliver himself. And he that is courageous among them shall the mighty shall flee away naked in the day, says the Lord." So if you can have all the armaments you want and all the strength and all those things, but if you turn away from God, you're going to flee. The only ones that are going to triumph are those who are faithful and those who have courage before God. And it happened in the day of Amos as well as it did later on. But what about the people who are faithful? We think of King Hezekiah again. The people surrounded the city there, and he told them, "The one who is with us is greater than the one that is with them." And in 2 Chronicles chapter 20, we find there Jehoshaphat said that God is with us. In other words, our army is greater not because of how many we have or how much power we have, but because God is with us all the way. And God delivered them in both of those occasions because they stood courageously before him. I'll turn now to Acts chapter 5 again. Acts 5, and skip down to verse 40. Acts 5 and verse 40. And to him they agreed. And when they had called the apostles unto them, they beat them and charged them not to speak in the name of Jesus, and let them go. So the high priest and the council had gathered together. Now, for one thing, there was Gamaliel who had told them, "Be very careful about persecuting these men, because they may truly be from God, and we don't want to be found standing against God." So they listened to what he had to say, but then they took them out and beat them anyway, and then let them go. And then verse 41 says, "They there that departed from the presence of the council, rejoicing that they were counted worthy to suffer dishonor for the name. And every day and in the temple and at home they ceased not to teach and to preach Jesus as the Christ." They were beaten, they were threatened, they were persecuted. And the verse 41 says they when they went out of the presence of the council after being beaten severely, says they rejoiced because they were counted worthy to suffer for the name of Christ. The counsel Gamaliel gave them was, don't be careful about the punishment because you might be standing against God. But notice Peter and John were the ones particularly named, but actually all of the apostles suffered also. And Jesus told them it was going to happen. I go back to Matthew chapter 10. Matthew 10 and verse 17. Jesus said, "Beware of men, and they will deliver you up to the councils, and in their synagogues they will scourge you." Exactly what happened to them. In verse 22 in Matthew 10, he says, "And you shall be hated of all men for my name's sake, but he that endures to the end, the same shall be saved." If you endure to the end, you're going to be saved eternally. That's for you and me as well as it was for them. There's a man one time named Thomas Whitelaw, and he was talking about these persecutions. And he pointed out that there is a progression, if you will, in the persecutions. From starting out, it got worse and worse and terrible and all the way through. Acts 4:21, they were threatened. Well, as bad as that is, there was a threatened. It wasn't done yet. Acts 5:18, they were taken into custody and imprisoned for a time. Acts 5 and verse 40, they went through scourging. A scourging wasn't just a light tap on the back. They could be scourged and beaten with either rods or whips. And usually the whips had metal pieces and things in there to tear the flesh. So they went through a scourging. And sometimes people died from the scourging. And then chapter 7, we come to Stephen, who was taken out and stoned to death. So it went from threatening to imprisonment to scourging and to death. Exactly what Jesus had prophesied would happen. Paul, of course, later received the same kind of treatments. And he suffered persecution of all kinds because he remained faithful to God. In 2 Corinthians 11, verse 24, Paul was kind of looking back on that part of his life. He says, "Of the Jews, 5 times I received 40 stripes minus 1. 3 times I was beaten with rods. 1 I was stoned. 3 times I suffered shipwreck. A night and a day I spent in the deep." He was beaten with rods. He was beaten with whips. He was in prison. He was shipwrecked. All these things happened to him. In 2 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 10, he says, "Therefore, I take pleasure in weakness, in injuries, in necessities, in persecution, and distresses for Christ's sake. When I am weak, then I am strong." Paul recognized his persecution was for a purpose, to be strengthened in the faith and standing for what was right, to be an example to others. From a spiritual perspective, it made sense. Now, to human perspective, maybe it didn't. Some probably did at some time think, "Well, Lord, why are you allowing this to happen to me? I'm trying to be faithful to you." But Paul didn't reason that way. Neither did Peter and John and the others. Matthew 28, verse 20, Jesus said, after giving the great commission to his apostles, he said, "Lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the world." If they would go and teach and baptize those that believe and continue to teach them, he says, "I'm with you to the end of the world." Well, what then does this mean to you and me? Well, first of all, it means that courage is defined as the quality of mind which enables us to stand and encounter danger, difficulties with firmness, without fear. Now, yes, we're human beings. We're going to fear a great many things. And it may be that, but we can overcome that fear with bravery, not because of how great we are, but how great God is, with valor and also boldness and resolution, knowing we're going to do what God wants regardless of the consequences. We may not think of ourselves as being courageous, and maybe in many things we're not very courageous, but we can remain faithful to God and He will be with us and He will increase our strength and our courage and our wisdom. In serving God, we have to stand firm and bold and be fearless in taking the stand regardless of what anybody else around us does. In Matthew 10, verse 28, Jesus said, "Be not afraid of them that kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul, but rather fear him who is able to destroy both body and soul in hell." In other words, there's something more important than a temporary persecution in this life. There's something more important than that, and that's eternity. Jesus showed the necessity of taking a stand because he was willing to go to the cross for you and me. And if we're willing to stand for him, he will be with us all the way. Joshua, we go back to him for a moment. And he was told to go in and take the land. And in fact, God says, "If you'll go in and take the land, I'll be with you every place your foot steps. I'll give you that land." And in Joshua chapter 1, verse 9, it says, "For God said, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you may go." Well, God promised Joshua he would be successful, and he was. If you read to the end of the book of Joshua, the Bible tells us that for all the generation, the time that Joshua lived, and the ones who outlived Joshua, who were with him, all of that generation also was faithful to God. So for 2 generations, because of the faith of Moses and then Joshua, they remained faithful to God. And we can do the same. But we have the Savior himself. He died on the cross so we could be saved eternally. And this morning, if you need to come, for whatever reason in your life it may be, that you understand the sin in your life that needs to be taken away and to dedicate yourself to the Lord, won't you come now? All together we stand while we sing.